The lives of millions and the honor of our chapter hang in the balance, brothers. Failure is not an option.
Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Thursday, August 13th, 2020. This is episode 75. A couple days late, obviously, as I'm sure you're noticing. If you follow the Facebook page, you would have seen that I had put a post up a couple days ago just mentioning that. That just wasn't going to happen, at least not right then and there. Just some personal stuff that had going on in my life, and admittedly, on Tuesday specifically, I wasn't feeling super well. No worries, it's not the Rona or anything. I just was not feeling very good, hadn't been getting much sleep. I ended up getting all of the sleep on Earth, basically, throughout most of Tuesday, so that was nice. So, but yeah, it was a rough start to the week, but now things have moved along a little bit, and now we're here. So, but yeah, let's just go ahead and start getting into the stuff. As far as what's going on in my neck of the woods, like I said, there was personal stuff. There was some just not feeling great because of not sleeping well and so on and so forth. That kind of put some delays in action. That being said, have been making some hobby progress, doing some more work on my sisters a little bit. I'm actually really looking forward to getting more of them and kind of, this is going to be absolutely, you know, fucking tech heresy like no tomorrow, but kind of feeling like they're going to become a new main for me. And I'm sure my, you know, Mechanicus Force is very pissed to hear that. But that's not to say I'm abandoning the Omnissiah by any stretch. I just think the Sisters of Battle have some really cool shit going on. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with them and stuff. So I did actually do a little bit of, I guess for lack of a better way of putting it, vacuum hammer yesterday. And when I say vacuum hammer, I mean playing a game in a vacuum, making it super simplified and stuff. Me and my 6-year-old threw some dice around, him using actually the sister squad, just one squad of battle, just battle sister squad, and then I did a round using, Orc Knobs against him, and then two rounds using Blade Guard veterans. Basically was trying to go for rough power level, just what I had laying around. And we stuck to super simple stuff, no crazy stratagem things or whatever. We could do Overwatch, but that was it, so on and so forth. I got fucking raffle stomped all three times, to the point where it was actually just kind of like rage quit mode almost. And I know that sounds ridiculous, like, but he's 6. And I get that, but I did learn yesterday that he's kind of a poor sport. And I'm going to have to talk to him about that a little bit, because, there's just like, at one point he was like, hey, you kind of suck at this. And I was like, oh, cool, thanks. You know, and what the other thing he said, are you sure you've been playing this for a long time? Because it really doesn't seem like you've ever played this before. it was awful. That being said, when he rolls, like 20 dice and gets like almost nothing but 5s and 6s, there was at one point he rolled 20 dice for hits. He missed one shot. And then, so rolled 19. He failed to wound one time. So 18 wounds. And this was with the Blade Guard veteran. So 2 up saves. I managed to lose. I think that was the second round. I lost all 3 of them in that one round of shooting that I had. Yeah, it was an embarrassment. And that was just one, instance. At one point, even just for funsies, we switched it up. Not that I started playing as the sisters, but rather instead it was like, here, let me roll your dice. and it was complete failure. Didn't get a single hit off at all, so on and so forth. He rolled for my guys just with, you know, just then when we, I was like, all right, well, here, let you go ahead and actually roll this time. So he rolled for his sisters, and I was like, all right, you go ahead and roll my armor saves. Passed every single one. But then I still didn't count it. Like, so this was just more of an experiment. So then I rolled, and I failed most of them. Yeah, it's just insane. The dice were not friendly to me at all. But that being said, like I said, I need to talk to him about, you know, there's trash talking a little bit, and then there's just being a dick. And that's what he was doing. So, but that's all right. Still love him. He's still amazing. So it is what it is. But beyond that, like I said, worked a little bit on hobbying. I actually picked up a bunch of paint last night to help me finish some projects and stuff that I got going on. I'm really feeling the itch to you know, go full ham on this stuff again. I've been, you know, putting a lot of my hobbying on the back burner. Earlier this year when, you know, this whole pandemic first started, it was primarily just easier to sit down and play video games. I have not used my computer for anything other than paying bills and doing this podcast for several weeks now, actually. And then watching, like, some tutorials for, you know, specific painting techniques and things of that nature. You know, but otherwise, yeah, it's been very much just, I've been very focused on trying to do more hobbying. Unfortunately, real life stuff tends to overtake that a bit too much, in my opinion. And I'm going to start cracking down and putting more emphasis on the hobbying. In fact, even like today, right now as I'm recording this, I really wish I was painting instead. But that's not because I hate doing the podcast. Far from it. I wish I just had time to do both. Very easily, and you know, when you work and have kids and so on and so forth, that's a pain in the ass to have enough time for everything. So I'm gonna wing it. We're gonna record right now. If I have any time after I'm done recording, I might crack out some hobbying. We'll see. But other than that, that's about it as far as what's going on in my neck of the woods. Let's go ahead and switch on over here to the newsy bits and whatnot. As far as stuff coming out of GW, there's some very exciting stuff that was released today that was going to be the subject of my episode if I had recorded it earlier on in the week anyways. This is actually just kind of more beneficial because now it's no longer just rumors and hearsay. I actually have some stuff to work from that's very official-like. And namely the whole, I'm sure everybody's seen some stuff, and we'll, like I said, we'll get into it more later. Talking about the new rules for Marines and Necrons and what all this stuff means for future 40K releases. So anywho, but yeah, we'll, like I said, we'll get into that later on in the episode. That will be the meat and potatoes section there. So moving on, this past week, they also have released both a large amount of FAQs, which I haven't looked through all of those individually yet or anything, but there are some, you know, definitely double check for an FAQ for your specific army. See what's there that's, you know, if there's anything that's important for you to know. They have also, this past week, released a new balancing of power levels. So you can download the power levels update right now for free. Or if you have the app, you can, I think they do have, I think it's updated on the app, if I'm recalling correctly. I'm pretty certain here. Yes. Yes, it is available at least as of when this article was made, which was 3 days ago. It is available for Android updates right now. And then iOS, I don't know if that's available at this point. It just says over the next day or so. So it should, in theory, be available on iOS now. But yeah, they are indeed updating power levels and stuff. And as a note with the app, they have done quite a few updates to the app. It is looking better. It still does not have all the main features that people want yet. So, you know, take of that what you will. I'm still holding out hope that GW makes this app a little, you know, more worthwhile and stuff. We will just have to wait and see if they actually do or not. At any rate, moving on, as a note with the FAQ thing, they did put out the FAQs on Monday, if I'm recalling correctly, but then yesterday put out an FAQ to the FAQ, because apparently the way, I didn't see the initial wording and stuff, but apparently the way it was worded for the Lookout Sir thing basically had it set up so that you could cause an infinite loop of untargetable, unkillable things, which clearly is not good for a game at all. That has been addressed. I did see one ridiculous FAQ update. I'm trying to try and pull that up actually here quick. Let's see here. It was some really bizarre wording sort of situation here. Yeah, there's some weird thing. Rare rules. Ignoring wounds versus rules that prevent models from ignoring wounds. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it is such a weird circular logic, just word salad situation that's just like, what in the fuck were they trying to get at in the first place? It is such a bizarre thing. That happens sometimes where your GW is trying to prevent people from having, you know, their cake and eating it too, and so having to over explain stuff to a point where it doesn't make sense anymore. It's just a really bizarre wording. But anywho, moving on here. They also have announced, I think this was today, yes, today, some more board games. So for those of you who play the, you know, Warhammer board games and stuff that GW has been putting out, those are going to be available here in Barnes & Noble. If you are overseas, there are some specific places, something called Thalia Bucher GmbH. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And Mersch Busch Handlung. I don't know. And then GameStop in Germany. How is GameStop still a thing? Anywho, and then in the UK, just says Game Shops. Apparently, it's just a store named Game. So there'll be exclusive board games at specific retailers. They look okay. I don't know. I haven't played any of the GW board games specifically. And personally, they just really seem like they just keep putting out tons of these random little weird games. I don't know. If you're looking for something that lets you play with actual GW models, but to maybe introduce somebody to the universe, and you just don't want to have a full-on, you know, trying to drag them into the whole thing, the main games, you know, AOS and 40K, because they're like, whoa, I don't know about that shit. I guess that's one option. But otherwise, personally, I'm pretty meh about it. So, that's actually about it as far as the news stuff goes. One other thing I forgot to mention here. I haven't gotten to check it out yet myself, but for those of you who are big on the Black Library stuff, the Warhammer Crime series, they have actually put out some of the titles. So I haven't gotten to check them out myself yet. I'm hoping to soon. I'm really hoping that it's like the horror line, because the horror line has been, for the most part, rather good. And I found that a lot of them, too, are nice because they're actually well-made in such a way that if somebody's not super familiar with Warhammer, that it's still a good way to introduce them to stories and stuff related to Warhammer, if they're into that type of stuff. So if, basically, if you know somebody who likes horror stuff, but has no idea what Warhammer is, or no interest, or whatever, or minimal interest, rather, it can be a good way to, you know, to bridge the gap there, so to speak. So, but yeah, the Warhammer Crime series, like I said, they did just put some of that out. I think it came out this past weekend, actually, if I remember correctly, the 8th. So, but I'm going to go ahead and take a quick little break. After the break, come back and we will discuss the main, once again, meat and potatoes. Talk about the future of 40K based on this new rules information we've gotten. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. You may have noticed that there was a different advertisement there. It is me doing a sponsorship bit. For Anchor, the service I use for my podcast. I'm trying out sponsorships through them. We're going to see how it works out and see how I like it, so on and so forth. You know, and let me know what you guys think about it and stuff too. It's my first time doing an ad that isn't just me talking about the podcast in some capacity. So, but yeah, you know, we'll see how this all pans out and works out for me here. I don't know, I've been doing this for a while, and I've constantly thought about it, and just today I was like, you know what, fuck it, let's do it live. So, yeah, there you go, I have a sponsorship ad there. So, in general, I have no idea, I'm still figuring out how this whole thing works, so there's only going to be, like, the one segment, I think, for now, in each episode. I don't know if there'll be more, and so on and so forth. Like I said, I'm still figuring out how this works, so bear with me. Let me know what you guys think. You can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast, if you want to bitch and moan about it or whatever. But I would prefer something constructive. You know, I would like to try and make money off of doing podcasting. I think that's a fair thing. You know, a lot of people do. So, and yeah, I'm not trying to screw anybody over in any capacity, but, you know, making a little bit of extra pocket change, as I mentioned in the ad, would be nice. So, because Warhammer's expensive. So, moving on, though, let's go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes here. As I mentioned before the break, there was a lot of rumors in the past week of all sorts of new, you know, rules coming out. The leaks were supposedly from the instructions that come with the new kits that GW is putting out. So they're reboxing old kits and obviously putting out new kits. And in these reboxes, they're going to have like a simplified data sheet, basically. And there were a bunch of these pictures going around the internet that showed all sorts of stuff. Terminators with three wounds and like crazy powerful chain fists and all sorts of other crazy ass shit. But it's all been rumor and hearsay until today. Now, as I mentioned earlier on in the episode, I actually had planned to kind of discuss these rumors anyways as just kind of a, you know, more of a potential, like, hey, you know, what does this mean for the game if it's true, you know? And now we know that there is a lot of truth going on here. So we're going to go over the specifics on the things that GW has officially revealed so far, and kind of go over my thoughts on what this means for the game as a whole. So, as of today, like I said, they put this out, article, new boxes, new rules, new codexes. We know we have new codexes coming out in October for both Space Marines and Necrons. But they also showed off some pictures, on this page, as well as there's been some, once again, leaks that, show off what the new box art is going to look like and stuff, for all the reboxes and the new releases. And it looks pretty cool. One thing I can say is that these boxes that they're showing off on the community site match up to the, you know, leaked boxes and stuff that were being shown last week. So that lends more credence that everything that we've seen that was leaked is true. But let's go ahead and cover some specifics that GW has revealed that they are doing. They started off by mentioning the you know, noble heavy bolter is now going to be a damage 2 weapon. So let's see here. It's a range 36, heavy 3, strength 5, a neg 1 AP. And it was 1 damage and it's now 2 damage. I think this is a cool step in the right direction for the heavy bolter. As it stands, the heavy bolter feels a little underwhelming when you compare it to some other heavy weapon options, considering that the bolter itself is kind of iconic and classic, and so is the heavy bolter in turn. Having such an iconic weapon being kind of flat in comparison to other options is has been just kind of a meh point. My retributors for my Sisters of Battle Army, I debated back and forth. I'm like, I love the look of the heavy bolter that they put in this kit, but I don't like the rules. When you look at what the retributors are capable of doing with their bonuses on meltas and bonuses on flamer weapons and stuff like that, the heavy bolter just seems kind of underwhelming for them to use otherwise. Amping these up to, and they're not alone in that either, but amping these up to damage 2, when you're already looking at, you know, pumping out 3 shots as it is, there's some good potential there now. So I'm excited to see more on that. That being said, with the upgrade to the flamer weapons, flamers and heavy flamers are moving to range 12 inches. This is going to be huge. As far as I'm concerned, this is massive. The main thing being is deep striking and overwatching. You're now going to be able to drop in with your deep striking units and be able to do some serious fucking damage right off the bat. You know, drop in on somebody's ass and just torch them down. But the big thing is that flamethrowers have been a great way to dissuade assaulting units from, well, doing their thing and assaulting your ass. Now you can just burn them down more easily. Even if somebody's, well, you know, looking for a long charge, you can overwatch them, burn them down, and, you know, just fuck with their whole fucking day. The big thing is overall is it's going to make assault forces think twice before they charge. They're going to want to make sure that, A, they are getting that charge off regardless. You know, if they want to make sure... First, well, let me start over here and back up a little bit. First of all, they want to make sure that they do indeed want to assault this unit, that the risks are outweighed by the potential rewards. That's just a given. It has to happen. You know, they're going to be just more careful about and more picky and choosy about who they're going to charge at and when they're going to charge them. But in turn, too, now... and not in turn too, in turn as well, you are going to see them probably try to avoid more long charges because of the fact that that's going to put them in a bigger risk, to get hit by these flamethrowers and then end up failing their charge. And then they're just chilling out in the open. Flamethrowers still got range on them. Burn them down again, you know. They're going to work harder to get closer to you, I think, before they declare these charges. Not always. You know, it depends on, you know, the situation as far as since Overwatch is now a stratagem and stuff like that. There's not always a guarantee you'll be able to fire your Overwatch at that target. So they could choose to try and attack from multiple angles and stuff like that. But either way, this change is huge, in my opinion, for the game immensely. Flamethrowers are going to be, I think you're going to see a lot more of them in the meta just overall. And a big thing, I'm going to skip ahead to the end of this article and just make a note that they did specify that while they're putting these updates out with Codex Space Marines, any faction that shares the same weaponry will have access to these rules for those weapons right off the bat. So your multi-melta, your flamethrower, oh yeah, multi-melta, oops, I'm already skipping ahead there too. Your flamethrower, your heavy bolter, and yes, your multi-meltas are going to get all these new boosts. across the board, for namely for Imperial factions. But the reason I'm bringing this up too is they are going to give Xenos factions the same treatment. So you're probably going to see flamethrowers and stuff like that in, like, you know, like scorches for orcs. And then as far as melta weapons, you know, fusion guns and stuff like that, for the Eldari, and then whatever it is that the Tau have, or maybe that's the fusion gun that the Tau have. I don't remember exactly. Fusion blaster. There it is. Fusion blaster. You're going to see these other factions also get these, boosts or something equivalent to that boost. So, definitely, once again, while Imperials are going to be raking it in right up front, which is unfortunate, admittedly, I'm kind of hoping that Codex or no Codex update for these other factions, that GW will put out FAQ and errata updates that update weapons appropriately, so we're not waiting around for a new Codex before, you know, other factions are viable. But we'll just have to wait and see how GW ends up handling that. So, the next one, though, that they did share, as I just kind of let the cat out of the bag there, Meltas. Now, there were some things that popped up in leaks and stuff, too, regarding multi-Meltas specifically. But, Melta weapons are going to get a flat +2 damage bonus for its ability. I think it's when you're at the half-range thing. Yeah, you're no longer going to be rolling 2d6 and then getting the highest for your damage amount. You are going to roll a d6 and just add 2 to whatever you rolled. So it could, you know, be damage 3, but it could be damage 8. I think this is going to probably make Meltas more deadly overall. With the 2d6, picking the highest on average, I actually don't remember what the average is right off the top of my head here. Average result for d6 reroll. It's 3.5. Yeah, and I was just going to say, I thought it was somewhere like in the 3 or 4 range. The nice thing here is that, for starters, you're guaranteed a minimum 3 damage. And when you figure the average result of a D6 with a reroll is 3.5, okay, you're already there, basically, because you can't get a 0.5. So, depending on how you want to look at it, you're either already there because you see 3.5 as 3, or statistically, I think it's better to probably assume lower rather than higher, but if you wanted to round up to 4, all right, you're just shy. But the likelihood that you're only going to end up with 3 is, you know, a 1 in 6 chance that you're going to end up with only 3 damage. The likelihood that you're going to get 4 or more is a 5 in 6 chance. So, yeah, I think overall you're going to see, Meltas now being far more deadly, in comparison, by a long shot, you know, whereas before, you know, considering that on a 1d6, you're looking at a, to get a 3 or more, you have a, you're a 4 and 6, so a 2/3 chance, 66% odds. But now you're guaranteed to get a 3. If you're at half range, you're just automatically going to get a 3. I think this is definitely a big boon. The big thing, though, is that with multi-meltas specifically, they are going to now be heavy 2. So you are looking at potentially 16 damage when a multi-melta is fired at half range. That's fucking nuts. You're looking at knights getting absolutely fucking smoked right real quick by retributor squads or other, you know, vehicles and stuff that have dedicated Melta weaponry attached to them, so on and so forth. It's definitely going to make the multi-Melta a big, big thing, I think. It's just like the flamethrowers, I think you're going to see a lot more Meltas in general. I still, going back a step, I don't see the heavy bolter necessarily with that damage too. I think it's going to make them more viable, but I don't foresee that making them, like, you know, just a requirement everywhere you go. So, they also go on to talk about some assault weapons. Power swords are going to get a +1 strength modifier. And then the Astartes-grade chainswords wielded by Space Marines will be hitting an AP neg 1. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty hurdy to go up against Space Marines in general, because you're going to see a lot of chainswords and a lot of power swords. They are also, with supercharged plasma weaponry, they're going to change it so that they only overheat on an unmodified roll of 1. So if you're shooting at somebody who has a neg 1 modifier to hit, it's not going to harm you and increase your odds of getting smoked. Now, that being said, too, in turn, I think that does mean that if you have a modification that boosts a 1, I think that it is still going to hurt if you roll a 1. If I'm thinking correctly on the rules, if I'm wrong, call me out on it, feel free. So if you had something like a stratagem or a buff that allowed a unit to basically ignore supercharged plasma weaponry damage, because of the fact that you were modifying the 1, I don't think that's going to fly anymore, but I could be wrong. So, but yeah, and then once again, they go on to mention about alien weaponry and the fact that everybody in the Imperium that shares these same weapons that the Space Marines have is going to get a bunch of the boosts as well. But they did show off a few things for the Necrons specifically. The Synaptic Disintegrator, they show the old stats, 24-inch range, rapid fire 1, strength 4, AP 0, damage 1. You can target a character even if it's not the closest. Each wound roll of 6+ does a mortal wound in addition to other damage. The new one is now going to be 36 inches, heavy 1, so you're no longer going to be able to double tap at 12 inches, but that's okay, because they're really, they're snipers. They're not really looking to get up close and personal with most targets anyways. Strength 5, AP neg 2, and 1 damage. And then you can ignore the lookout sir rule, and it still does the unmodified wound roll of 6, inflicts 1 mortal wound on the target in addition to any normal damage. So that's pretty cool overall. You're seeing it become more like an actual sniper weapon and less of some sort of weird, sniper assault rifle type thing. It was basically just a weird bolter, a fancy bolter. So, but now this kind of feels like its own thing. They also, Triarch Praetorians, they've doubled the damage on the Rod of Covenant, both for shooting and melee. The rest of the stats are the same. 12-inch range, assault 1, or melee, depending on which mode you're operating in. Strength 5 or strength user for melee, and then AP neg 3, damage 2 for both will be the new thing, whereas before it was damage 1. So, the biggest thing that they've announced, though, with this whole thing, for at least for most people, is the fact that all Space Marines, will be getting an extra wound added onto them. Firstborn are now tying up with Primaris. I don't know if that means Primaris are going to go up to 3 wounds. They actually don't specify that. The way it's worded makes it sound like they won't. Their article goes on to say, that's right, it won't just be Primaris Marines on 2 wounds anymore. So that makes it sound like they're going to stay at 2. All Firstborn Marines are going to go up to 2. Terminators are moving up to 3, etc. This, I think, is a huge boon for the humble tactical Marine that's been pretty much forgotten. Ever since they actually made Primaris decent with the last Codex release. That being said, as of right now, it's only going to affect Space Marines, but they do plan to bring this to Chaos. So, you're going to get Chaos Marines that have an extra wound versus what they had before. Rubric Marines and Plague Marines are also going to be getting this stuff, etc. So it's going to make for some pretty tough and durable Space Marines, regardless of whether they're spiky or not. That being said, my personal opinion is I feel like this is a good step in the right direction, but I also feel like in turn they should make Primaris have another wound on top of that. Now, granted, then that kind of invalidates Tactical Marines and Terminators in comparison, and I get that to a degree. But I don't know. It's going to really depend on the points, though. They did specify that regular, you know, your regular old Tactical Marine is going up 20% in his points, up to 18 points because of the extra wounds. So, yeah, for balancing purposes, points sure going to probably go up. They're trying to make Space Marines more elite, which makes sense. But like I said, for me, I kind of felt like that whole two-wound Primaris thing was a big thing that made Primaris special. I know they have access to a lot of weaponry and equipment that regular Space Marines don't. But I can't help but feel like that, you know, Primaris need to still be special in comparison, in some capacity. I think more than anything else, they should probably then raise up Primaris wounds, at least 1 point apiece, but in turn, provide Tactical Marines some sort of special buff, or ability or something like that, be it like a mission specific thing where they have bonuses for holding objectives, or obviously there's the whole drop pod thing that right now you can't drop pod Primaris, but you can drop pod Tactical Marines. But making something more viable with that whole option in line too, give us a reason to want to have both is what it boils down to. Because like with right now with the current setup and everything, Primaris is now the way to go. Generally speaking, there's really not a whole lot of reason to stick with older Marines, except for points. Obviously, Primaris are more expensive. So, but yeah, overall, I like all these changes and stuff that they're proposing. I'm imagining this is not the end of what we're looking at change-wise. And in the greater scheme of the game as a whole, one big thing to think about and consider with this, with them adding all this stuff, is some people might bitch and complain and everything and saying, oh, it's fucking power creep and so on and so forth. There is a possibility for that. I agree with that. But that being said, I also feel like this gives more room for them to play with the rules. Making weapons more powerful, making units more durable, etc., is going to allow them to have a greater breadth and range of weapons. You know, right now, there's so many weapons, when they release 9th edition, there are so many weapons that are on Imperial side and Xenos side that are completely different weapons. But once you take the unit stats, take the rules of the weapon itself, etc., they end up basically being the same exact damn thing. What they did to Gauss Flayers in particular for Necrons when they updated them for 8th is pretty fucking piss poor, because they're just basically bolt guns. You know, at least as far as I remember, I think they're just basic ass bolt guns that just shoot weird green lightning shit. Whereas in previous editions, they had some really scary fucking rules that could really fuck with your vehicles and stuff. So, you know, if they're going to have these ancient horrors from beyond time rising from their graves, rise from your grave, and, you know, pumping out weird fucking lightning that atomizes you, you know, molecule by molecule just breaks you down and stuff, that should do something different from big gun that goes boom and shoots splody bullets. You know, they should be two very different styles of weapon. But with the rules as they were, you can't really do that very much. There's just not enough room to play with those rules. I did an episode quite a while back. I don't remember what episode it was off the top of my head. But I did an episode a while back where I think it was from Preferred Enemies, a different podcast, that they had a fan write to them and with some proposals as far as making changes to the weapon stats. And one of the biggest things that they recommended was doing positive AP values, not just negative AP values. So that basically if a weapon was particularly weak, it might actually give a +1 as opposed to just being a dash. You know, allowing even units that have really shitty armor to do better against those weapons because, well, those weapons are just that cheap and chintzy compared to other weapons. And that has the similar effect of giving you a wider range of things you could play with, you know, gives you a wider range of numbers and rules you can mess with and play with and create a more robust mechanics system for the game. So overall, I think this is a step in the right direction. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more. I'm super excited to build my retributors with flamethrowers and multi-meltas, that's for sure. I'm actually looking at a picture right now of a retributor squad that has two multi-meltas, a heavy flamer, and a heavy bolter. That heavy bolter feels severely out of place when you compare it to what the other weapons are now capable of. So, but yeah, like I said, overall, I think this is a healthy thing for the game. I think that as long as they work on it properly, this is going to be better for balance and better for making factions feel more different because they will have the ability to reset some rules on specific weapons and make certain factions feel and play differently from other factions, even if they share the same weapons. So, like I said, more room to breathe. But yeah, that was actually basically about it, truth be told, that I wanted to go over and cover. If I can ever spit out my words, apparently. If you guys are interested, hit me up on Facebook. Let me know what you think about all these new rules that they are planning to add regarding weapons and stuff. Facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast. Even if you disagree with me, as long as it's constructive, don't be a dick. Once again, feel free to just drop in the inbox there and let me know what you think. So, Facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast. So, but I think we're going to call it a call here, guys. As always, thank you for listening. Once again, you hit me up on Facebook, as I just mentioned. You can also hit me up on Twitter @RegimentalVox. You can donate through Patreon, patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox. And then there is something similar to like Patreon, apparently, for Anchor specifically. I haven't looked into it yet, so keep, you know, but I might add that on if the sponsorship thing works pretty well. I might add the ability for people to directly donate to the podcast through Anchor's website. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all next week. This is Caleb Myers signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.